music.
Mm-hmm,
but
yes.
Hans Eisler, who was also a Schoenberg student and an atonal, also was very fond of Zarek's music and had a great deal of admiration for him and mm-hmm. told him so. So Eric never had problems with the creative people.
Mm-hmm.
They understand each other.
Yes.
They're like dogs who smell each other and know. You know, but the Schoenberg school gave him a great deal of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
The minor exponent, because they heard it only the tonality, and that for them was out,
mm-hmm.
you know? And they didn't have this immediate response to what was underlying, you know? Because I think atonality, tonality are only dresses.
Mm-hmm.
And the dress is on the person.
Yes.
And when you know the person, that is important. Is the person there something?
Yes. It seems that the picture that's emerging is one in which one might speak of Eric as a lyric dramatic talent. You've used this term before.
Yeah.
Perhaps
definitely.
You could amplify this a little bit.
Well, I consider something like chamber music or symphonic music, you would call like epic. And he was always a lyrical talent, so from the beginning the lead attracted him,
mm-hmm.
and the word, you know, was so to say the stimulant that loosened the creative impulse in him. And he was all his life looking for texts and wanted to write operas.
Mm-hmm.
And it was due, I think, to a desperation that he composed the little mass or the requiem,
mm-hmm.
Because the text is so dramatic that it is almost like an opera, and what he composed was almost like an
yes.
opera. I mean, his approach to it was very much like in the Verdi Requiem, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it sounded like the Verdi Requiem, I don't mean that, but a dramatic approach, you see?
Yes.
The approach of a dramatic composer. And he kind of needed that.
Yes. I think we'll see this as we get into some individual works, that he needed some kind of extra musical stimulus to
yes.
begin, and some kind of dramatic story, perhaps.
Perhaps, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Another facet of his training, one which I think is significant in his development as a composer too, is his ability as a pianist. Perhaps you could talk about this.
Oh, he was a fabulous pianist, and he had an ability which cannot be explained, and that he could bring out on the piano tones that were not in the piano. I mean,
uh-huh.
when he played the orchestra, it sounded like orchestra. And I remember an incident that one time when he came to visit us, and my father was a violinist, and he had the radio open, and I mean, he was not a professional violinist.
Mm-hmm.
Amateur violinist. And he had the radio open and the Beethoven violin concerto was played, and Eric listened with us. And then he went to the piano and he played the opening passages, and my father was simply amazed, and he said, "That's fantastic." I said, "The piano sounds like a violin. How does he do that?" You know? And also when he played, there was a man by the name of Gompertz who took lessons from Eric because he wanted to play the Ride of the Valkyries and the Feuerzauber.
Oh, the magic fire
the
music.
The magic
yes.
fire music, the way Eric does. And so he just sat there next to him and paid him for it to watch what he did, because it sounded like the orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
And he had what he did, you know. Certain tricks. He didn't play the notes as they were
mm-hmm.
in any written score. He played what he knew from the score.
Mm-hmm.
He made it sound like an orchestra.
Had he considered becoming a concert pianist?
Yeah, he was, because this prowess apparently was already in him when he was very, very young and a boy.